I'm in.
All right, Conk, whenever you're good.
All right, ready? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Chilling Nay podcast, your premier VGC podcast. My name is Rashiel, a.k.a. Conkledonk VGC, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Tommy Hayden and Sableye VGC. Say hi, guys.
What's going on?
What's up? We had to do that twice because I accidentally cursed, and I'm so sorry we had to do that twice, but I stole Ryan's what's up that he did the first time, and I'm going to try not to curse, and I appreciate everyone listening.
FYI, guys, we're going to eventually add a swear jar for Tommy just to see how many times we have to edit out. Yeah.
So every time you see like a weird cut, that's because Tommy swore and we had to edit it out.
We're at one per episode. I'm not going to do it this episode. I'm not going to do it this episode. I'm not going to do it this episode.
But I am so happy to be back. We are recording for the first time since coming back from Japan. So super excited to be talking 2024 season, meta going into Pittsburgh. We got a really fun episode for you guys today. So let's dive right on in. First, let's kind of talk a little bit about how we're feeling about going into 2024 season now. We're all back to zero for CP. We have 500 CP bar going into this season. Plenty of regionals already announced. They just announced all the international championships as well. So how are you guys feeling? Any tips for newer players going into this season? Just kind of overall thoughts.
Can I start with this one?
Go for it.
Yeah. People saw what I did this past season and were like, Tom, you really kind of went all in. Like, what advice would you have? And my advice was hit as many ICs as possible. Go to all four ICs when I thought there were going to be four. Now there's only three. We got to touch on Oceania being ousted. Crazy to me that circuit doesn't have an IC now. But LAIC, EUIC, and NAIC are circled. I'm going to try to make all three, I think. I really am going to. I think I'm going to try to make all three. That's how big ICs are in my mind. Like, they are the season, especially with this 500 point now. Looking forward at the season, I'm only going to Pittsburgh and LA as regionals, maybe Orlando. But, like, yeah, no, the ICs are going to be big. I might not even make LAIC. Mm-hmm. I got to wait. Shout out Sohaib. He has a travel award. So he said he asked a couple of people first. If they can't crash with him, he would have a spot in the hotel for me. So I might be able to get some free accommodations down there because of the travel awards for him. Yeah. And, then all I would have to do is pay for a flight and a couple meals. And that makes it way more realistic. EUIC is so much fun. I love London. And then everyone asks me where my accent's from when I'm over there. And I'm like, I'm from East London. You can't tell. And that always gets a couple of cheap laughs. And then NAIC being in New Orleans. That's huge.
That's big. Wait, we got to talk about that too.
I want to hear, Ryan, I want to hear your opinion on that. How many NAICs have you been to and how many have been in Columbus?
Oh, not like this. Not like this. Okay, so every single NAIC I have gone to has been in Columbus. Now, granted, I've only been to two. It's tough to say, but like for as long as I can remember, it's been in Columbus, right? So it's one of those ones where I'm really actually happy they're moving it around because it's not always accessible. Columbus is not the most accessible for everyone, right? It's great for us Toronto area players, right? 6.5 hour drive, nice and tidy, nice, right? But like, having it spread around and move around, right, is really good because over the years, it's eventually going to become accessible for more and more people, right? You know, and like the diehard players, right, and the committed players are going to find their way there anyways, right?
Yeah, so, no, I think – go for it.
Keep going. No, I was going to say like some of those diehard players, right, doesn't really matter how close or accessible. Obviously, it's cheaper and there's less resources you have to spend to get there, but those like – all in, you need to go all in for your invite. And if you've committed to that for the season, you're going to find your way to that event anyways. But it definitely is nice to spread it around because there's players out there that really only don't have that many events and can't afford to go to that many events. So having ICs just kind of moved around in different areas from time to time is really, really good because like you get to now maybe feature this new player that doesn't necessarily go to all these events, has an IC in his area, maybe has a fantastic showcase and gets his invite now or gets their invite.
Yeah, 100%. I think like a big thing is I absolutely love traveling for Pokemon and I think it's so fun, but there's certain times where you wish that certain tournaments were in a more fun location just to make it a little bit more of a fun trip out of it. And I think like certain, you know, regionals in kind of really random locations or tournaments in really kind of random cities can be less fun just because of the city itself. less Fort to Wayne. Do. Yeah, yeah. For me, that was like Knoxville this season. That just like wasn't really much around. But I think
I loved Fresno because I drove to LA.
There you go.
Yeah, okay, but I know people weren't excited about Fresno itself. You know,
yeah, and Fresno so, like, itself not that great, but getting going to LA because you were so close to LA. That's what's up.
I wasn't even close. That's the bad part. I was like, all right, this is like a 300-mile drive. Are we really doing this?
Yeah, yeah. And so I know that, I mean, New Orleans is, I mean, no shot at Columbus, but New Orleans is a very famously fun city, so I think it's super exciting that NAIC.
I'll take shots at Columbus. That place, people had cars stolen for last year's IC. People had their cars broken into. Yeah, it was like, what is going on right now? This one I didn't hear about as many car thefts, but last year there were two.
Jeez. Well, I'm super excited for a lot of the really fun locations that are that have been announced for different tournaments this year. But I think a big thing going into the 2024 season, first for newer players, just to kind of a little bit up on what Tommy was saying about the ICs, they have much larger point payouts. And so kind of doing, you know, top 128 or top 64 at an IC versus top 128, top 64 at a regional, the point difference is so huge that it's just really worth it to get to those ICs if you can. So definitely recommend that. And now we're going to have a lot more premier challenges, a lot more mid-season showdowns that I think really important. I mean, right before the podcast was we were literally just talking about at Pittsburgh, the regional that's coming up, there's going to be a premier challenge pretty much every day from Friday to Sunday and a mid-season showdown. So I think it's really important to try to get to those events just to have chip away at it. I think Ryan kind of alluded to this in a previous episode of the pod, but it's really a marathon, not a sprint. And I think it can be easy to forget that if you do poorly at an early event.
Yeah.
But it's really important to just kind of keep that mindset, say, hey, it's a long season. Worlds is a year away. I just need to chip away at that invite.
It's I'm so happy you brought that up because I was hoping someone would, and I wouldn't have to just like segue to it myself. So I'm happy you kind of segue to it for me. But like, it really is, guys. And I have fallen for this trap as somebody. I don't think I'm like the best player in the game, but I do think I have potential to be a consistent player. So as somebody who thinks like that, it's for me, it's I'm not going to go to every single event and expect to win every single event I play. Right. So seeing 500 points is very, I don't want to say alarming, but it's a slap in the face. It's like, whoa, hold up. That's a long way to go considering I'm at zero. If I win this premier challenge, I'm only getting 30. But what we have to do is you have to take a step back. And if you get top four at all your best finish limits for your mid-season showdown and your premier challenge,
let's just get that. Six MSS is top four.
Right. And that's top four in MSS, which I believe is it still...
I'll look that up now.
Is it still 20? I know top four to PC is 8, so that's 8 times 6. It might be 25 for top four at an MSS, right?
I'm pulling it up like now. PC we'll is up, but... 12 for top four. Midseason showdown's 32.
12 plus... Yeah, that puts you at 264. And that's just getting top four. And if you get to top four at PCs and MSSs 12 times... to max out that, you got to think one of those 12 sets you're going to win. That skews the numbers. So now you're over halfway just off getting top fours at all your locals. It's scary to look at. It's kind of, if you look at it all at once, you're like, this is it. It's over. We're not doing it. But you got to remember, it's chip away, chip away, chip away. And then all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in a spot where it's like, hey, this is almost doable, you know? Obviously, you're going to have periods of time where you're like, that's it. I'm not getting it. It's going to happen. But, like, definitely keep your head up all the way, guys. It's a marathon, but keep chipping away at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to bring up the prize money now, too. If it's, am I stepping on toes? Because we were talking about this before the pod, too. We asked Ryan what his career earnings would be, like, was, and what it would be with the new payout is more than double, which is insane to me. Like, Ryan, I think you could make some really good money playing the game this season because of your caliber of play, your talent, your team-building capabilities. Like, I think the sky's the limit for you. I think this is your season. Like, for real, for real.
I appreciate that, Tommy. I appreciate that. We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to try and make it my season, but maybe I just got to stop bringing my mom to events. Maybe that's the secret.
No, your mom is lovely.
Well, okay, so this is a funny story. So I got a
segue into this. So basically, guys, every tournament that I go – or every tournament I have done well at, my mom has not been there. I have never gotten points – at a large, or like a good chunk of points at a larger event where my mom has attended. I think it's very funny. It's just a spooky coincidence, but it's definitely a very funny joke to run with.
It's super funny. It's super funny. So I'm going to take a step back here for and kind of explain a little bit what Tommy was referring to. So Pokemon Company has released a bunch of different changes for this upcoming season. One of them was obviously the CP bar, but recently they announced that they have increased the prize money payouts for Pokemon tournaments. And so they have almost doubled, or in some cases more than doubled, the payouts. So even just look, I have the regionals.
Hold up, the ICs went from Masters, 5 to 15.
Yeah, so for Masters Division, winner gets $6,000.
It used to be three? It used to be three.
Yeah. It used to be two or three, something like that. So
it was three, because I got two for second at Vancouver.
Okay. Yeah, so double the amount, and ICs, it's even more. And so it's really exciting for players that, you know, we felt like for a long time, if you look at different other video games and their kind of payouts, I mean, we're still not to the level of other games yet, but it's heading in the right direction, right? Giving a little bit more incentive to say, okay, hey, if you're one of the more consistent players, you can actually break even / make money going to tournaments. And that's a really exciting concept versus, oh, I have to win just to even like kind of
break even or not even
for tournaments. So
like this helps actually good players.
Super exciting. Yeah.
I think it helps more than that, Tommy, because like, yeah, you look at it, it's like, yo, 6,000 for first. But I think what's not being talked about enough is 750 for top 16, which I think is probably the most important one. That used to be 250, okay? And that was, for me, I don't know, like, for me, that's like a hotel. You know, that's about a hotel cost for the weekend, about 250, right? But now, let's say I get a decent deal on a flight or get to drive down there. That's only going to add maybe, let's just say another 250 for simplicity's sake, right? That means my regional is $500. Before, I was losing money even if I got top 16. Now, I'm actually making 250 for getting top 16.
That's not including booster packs, right?
Because you get some booster packs. You also get booster packs for top 16, which you can sell if you choose or open, because like I'm addicted to opening Pokemon packs, so you know I'm going to be the guy that opens them. But it's just so much easier to actually justify going now, because there's a higher chance of breaking even. That break-even point is a lot easier to attain. I'm not saying it's like you're just going to walk into an event and just break even, no problem. But it's it's a lot more attainable than it was in the past, and I think that's definitely an important feature.
Yeah, I think like a big thing is obviously all of us are playing not really – I mean, I'll at least speak for I think the majority of people I've interacted with is we're not playing to make money off of Pokemon. We're playing because we love the game.
Yep.
We really want to have the opportunity to prove that we're some of the best players in the world. But the added bonus of it's a costly hobby, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going to different regionals, it adds up. And I think having that prospect of, hey, you know what? The hard work that I'm putting in is not only going to pay off in results, but also pay off in potential profit is a really, really exciting prospect. And I think it's just a really great change in the right direction by the Pokemon Company.
I agree.
I am so excited to see if this brings up the level of people going to events, because originally Gavin had said, once I hit 500, I'm not going to any more events.
Right.
I think the payout increase changes that outlook on the like actual good player that can make money consistently from this game, can top 8 consistently from this game. I think they're going to be driven to go to more events now.
Well, I think that's a great, great segue into some of the maybe less positive changes that have been coming into play for certain these regionals. And that's some of these lower caps that we've been seeing at these regionals. So for reference, last year we've had regionals in San Diego hit almost 1,000 people. We were hitting at least, 750, 800 people.
Yep.
And now for the few events that have already opened registration, Pittsburgh capped at around, I think they just announced that they're going to open a few more slots from 420 to
435.
Yeah, it's 432. You're going to get like an extra 10 people in. And it's a funny story on that one, but
I don't think it's very funny. I think it shows their incompetence, low-key.
It's just sad because I think the game is growing so much. And, you know, there's other – I think there was a Barcelona special event or something like that, capped at like 150.
Yeah,
it's something ridiculous. Like that. And then another – I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but another tournament capped at like 300.
Yeah, Peoria.
Peoria is 370, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're seeing a lot of lower caps for a game that's really growing, and I think that kind of hinders the, especially for newer players that are really trying to get in, and a lot of these top players that, some of these are being paid by different esports organizations. I saw that to go and play in tournaments, and that's, limiting their potential to try to go and play. Just we have this new CP bar. Important thing to do is to get to tournaments to be able to get points, and that being limited is really kind of disappointing to see, at least early on. I'm really hoping that that's going to change once we get into more of the spring regionals. It's not been great to see early on.
This is actually something I'm actually like super passionate about because it needs to be fixed. And I actually made a topic or I made a video on my channel about this, like going into full detail. But I'm not going to do into that. I'm not going to go into that here. But like, guys, the game is ready to grow. It is growing. We can see it growing. It is actively growing. I remember back in the day, I would go to a regional and be like, yo, we hit 100 people. That's massive. Guys, that doesn't happen anymore. We are sitting here, we are getting insane amounts of people. Like Conk said, it's 750 out of Orlando last year. Like, we're getting massive players, and the game is just, they're not letting us grow the game the way we want to grow the game. And obviously, I get and I respect the fact that, like, the venue only has so much space. Right, so obviously they're gonna run into issues there, and
They're tweeting they want more.
I know, I get that they want more, right? And
That's the
they
crazy
also
part.
have issues with the stands we use for VGC right now. Those are currently, I think, stuck in Japan or something like that, which is kind of a
I
funny
think we're
story. But
yeah.
besides the
I
point, the
think they're in
game is ready
Ukraine.
to grow, and it's just not being let. They're not letting it grow, and it's unfortunate.
I heard they sent the stands over for the London Open, and then someone else told me that was a joke. They said no. That's why they didn't send them late for the London Open.
Yeah, no,
And I
I
said, "Are you?
think.
I'm not the London Open, the Yokohama Open that never happened. They sent
Yeah.
extra stands for that. That's why this is happening, apparently. That's a conspiracy now."
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. It's just really unfortunate that this is limiting the season, you know?
Yeah. When you
Do you
look at,
guys know
like.
any notable players cut out from Pittsburgh that want to go? I know Chuffa might not be able to go. One of
Justin Pang
our
currently
friends,
right now is not
Justin
in.
Tang.
Hello.
Yeah, so those are two
Canadian
like
Jesse is
top
not
level
in as
players.
well. He's a pretty notable
Who
one.
is?
Jesse is currently
Yeah, he's a
missed out as
very
well.
notable one.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing like right after Pittsburgh that there were a bunch of players tweeting out that, I think Paul Ruiz for not for Pittsburgh, but for one of the European tournaments wanted to get in and he couldn't get in. And he was one of the players I was referencing that gets paid to play by an organization and
Just
he
doesn't.
can't play because he's just not getting into the tournament. So it's just unfortunate to see, and kind of rolling off that topic is an event actually getting canceled or at least not renewed for this season, which is OCIIC, like the Oceania International Championships. So wanted to get your
Which
guys' thoughts on that.
I
Tommy, you want to take this one? I'll jump in
yeah
after. I have a few things
I'll
to
go
say,
first
but.
on this one. I am blessed to like I went to London as a spectator for Worlds in August, and I was like, I want to do everything in my power to play in Japan, and I accomplished that goal, which I'm so proud of. And I one of the things on my bucket list is to travel more for Pokemon. I want to go to LAIC so I could say I've been to four continents in 2 years. Like, I've been loving playing and traveling, and I've been having so much fun. Like, I've been having so much fun. And going to Australia would be incredible. Like, it'd be freaking awesome. They got kangaroos, they got koalas, like, they got animals I've never seen. They got so much different cuisine and beer and everything. Like, there's so much I would want to do in Australia. So, like, OCIC would be an awesome excuse to go to Australia and, like, play Pokemon on a fifth continent, you know? And as someone who's blessed to be able to travel as much as I've been able to, like, seeing that, it's like, oh, I can't potentially plan that this upcoming season and next, like, the season after or the season after. Like, what if they don't bring it back ever?
Right.
So that's, it's very disappointing to see. I hope they restructure it in a way where it's like, yeah, we know OCIC is going to be smaller than the other ICs, but we got to do something to let these people eat. Or, like, what if we include Asia in that circuit again, right? That used to be a thing, apparently, where it was a Southeast Asian Australian circuit. Like,
Yep.
maybe they could do something to help those players out too, because we know the Asian circuits are not the most well ran, according to a lot of the players. Like, we saw the Metronome protests
Yep.
and whatnot. So, I hope for they took it away this season to make it better in future seasons. But yeah, I would love to eventually go to OCIC and travel and play Pokemon in another continent. That's so cool to me.
Agreed. And I think the big thing here, and something that really needs to be said, is this company continues to ignore regions that want to play, that have passion for this game, and they just do nothing for them. In fact, they almost make it harder for them to play the game, right? And I used to think this way as a Canadian, right? Like, when I first started playing, we actually didn't have a Canadian regional. We were lucky to get Toronto in 2017 when I was starting to pick up the game, right? And that was big for me, you know? Hey, we have a local regional now. Maybe I can justify, you know, I get to my local regional. Then maybe I can do one in America, because it's not the most accessible going down from Canada to the U.S., right? But this is by far, after I've seen some of the stuff in recent years, that is a tiny stone in these problems right now of ignoring regions, right? Like, look at the Latin American region. They've been struggling for years with TPCI ignoring them. Now they're getting rid of Oceania. There are players there that are passionate about the game. This stuff needs to be fixed on their end. These guys need to be allowed to play the game. It's as simple as that. You have to let them play the game. They want to play the game. It's the same thing with the registration. We are trying to play your game, Pokemon. Let us play it. We are trying to play your game.
Exactly. I think that's the perfect way to put it. And there are some incredible players that come out of Australia in that region. And it's just
incredible.
Tragic that it's now harder for them to be able to qualify, because that's the only tournament that's there anyways, generally, and now that they've taken that away, it's just now they have to really spend a lot of money to travel to go to other tournaments.
I think they have two regionals this year.
They only have two?
I think they only have two regionals and whatever locals they end up getting. As of currently now, that is all they have to earn their invite, and it's absolutely ridiculous.
That's just so, so difficult to see. My heart goes out to the players in that region, and I really hope that in the future they get a little bit more respect from the Pokemon company.
Thank you guys for looking out for the players, because I did it from the selfish American point of view, and you guys really did it from the Australian player base point of view. So I appreciate we got both of those viewpoints.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, well, I'm going to transition us a little bit. We have the first regional of the 2024 season coming up in 2 weeks, from when we're recording, for Pittsburgh. So I want to get your guys' thoughts on A, first, are you guys going to Pittsburgh and how are you feeling about it? And B, let's talk a little bit about the meta going into Pittsburgh. Okay. So I'll let you guys take it away.
Ryan, you start. I've been starting a lot. Ryan,
all
you
right.
go first.
All right. So I think for me, one, I am going to Pittsburgh. That's going to be fun. I can't wait for that. Just want to start the season off strong, you know, and then just see what goes on, right? And then, but the big thing here is like the meta-wise, and I think you are going to see a lot Landorus, Iron Hands, Amoongus. To me, that is the big three core, the core of three right now that you are going to see a lot of, right? And obviously that core won worlds. There's no surprise that you're going to see a lot of that core running around. I'm interested in seeing how that core develops, because it is going to develop. Right. Obviously, Shohei's team is very good and probably still will be very good. And you're going to see people running it. But I am very interested to see the people that go, hey, the highlights on this team are that Landorus, Hands, Amoongus, and maybe that Fluttermane. That core of four is ridiculous. Right. And I'm curious to see how people adapt the Shohei team or that Shohei balance variant into the meta that's going to be at Pittsburgh, because I definitely think those are the three to watch. And I'm really curious to see how that type of balance, as a balance player, I'm curious to see how that balance evolves.
Yeah, it's actually kind of crazy going into the first regional of the season with the only tournament in this format having already had a tournament in this format, but that being
the world.
So it's like, really, really, it's going to be super interesting to see kind of how people adapt. And I think, going into worlds, it was a very much, hey, what are people going to bring? Everyone's keeping their teams top secret. I think there's less of that when you go into regionals about keeping things really under wraps, but it's still very much, this is going to be our only, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, only other NA regional in Reg D format, and then it changes.
Yes, this is the last Reg D regional. Yep. That's the only reason I'm doing.
Two regionals in this format, so I think people are going to bring out you know, whatever, they're not going to save anything. This is going to be the, hey, this is it. And then we're going into a new format, into Regulation E, which
You
we're
pour it
not
on.
sure what that's going to look like yet. But so I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it's developed. I think my call out that I'm going to say for the meta is, I think a lot of people early on in Reg D said, hey, Urshifu's here, Rillaboom's here, Heatran's here, Hondozo is in a really rough spot. What I've seen since then on ladder and different tournaments is people are building some pretty innovative and very offensive Dundozo teams, and I really think that that's something that as a previous Dundozo player, I think that that's going to be something to really watch out for at Pittsburgh, because I think people are realizing that they don't have the people don't have the best Dundozo answers necessarily,
They're forget they're
and
sleeping on it
especially
again.
combined
The
with
cycle
Chiyu
continues.
Quartermain, Chien Pao Dragonite, really offensive stuff like that, or Tornadus Urshifu. There's a few different comps, but I think that's going to be something that is going to throw people off when it comes to Pittsburgh.
Yep, so Conk just said, have your Dondozo answers ready. And
Yep.
this
I
is
think
actually
he's right.
something I kind of want to discuss about the shortened formats, because I'm not going to get into it right now. I'll let Tommy talk about Pittsburgh first. But I definitely want to, if
We
I
don't need
can,
to
take a few seconds to talk about that Conk afterwards. Let me know.
Yes, for sure.
take as much time. I'm just going to mention a sunflower quick. So you have as much time in the world. We don't need to hear from me.
Tommy, no.
Tommy, come on.
Come on, you gotta have
First of
something.
all, okay, we talked about this a little bit, but Tommy's run quite a unique mon right now. We'll see
So
if
it's a
he
nuclear
has the
weapon.
confidence to run it in Pittsburgh, but
I don't think I do. So my friend Bruno, he's a guy that turned me on to Hariyama. He's like, hey, you should try Hariyama on your team. Let's run some games with it. Just trust me. I ran games with it. I won a PC the next day. Finished 39th at AIC from adding it to my team. He goes, hey, Tommy, you should try this on your team. And he sent me a mock paste. I was like, this kind of. And I went 20-0 on ladder with it. And I got from 1300 to 1500 immediately. 15, like 70 immediately. And the Sunflora in best of threes is very weird to position. It's so Leaf Storm can KO a Cresselia with Choice Specs Terra Grass. I love the Terra Flying, Terra Blast, Life Orb in the sun. If I get weather control, this thing's just overpowered. I KO'd a it was a critical hit, but I KO'd a Landote in the sun with Leaf Storm. It was Terra Flying. It wasn't even ground typing anymore. It was a Terra Flying Lando and a critical hit KO'd it. I've been having so much fun testing this on Limitless and on Showdown, and the fact that you said people sent it to your group and were like, "Is this you guys? I know you guys smoke crack." Like, no, that's not us. I've been having so much fun testing this thing. I don't think I'm going to bring it to Pittsburgh. You might see me locking the Sunflower in Pittsburgh, but yeah, no, I'm sticking with Hard Trick Room, and I don't think it's very good right now in to most people. Like, I don't know how to sound this without saying a little pompous. But I'm gonna say it anyway, and tell me if I sound pompous. The caliber of player at Worlds is like crazy different from the caliber of player at Pittsburgh. So I think just going in with what I know, playing the way I play, playing a hard Trick Room team, I'll be able to position myself way better against North American players than I will against the world's caliber players. And I feel like that's very pompous of me to say, but at the same time, it's kind of how I'm feeling. And then the Sunflower just gives me another nuclear weapon that if I learn how to position it well against good players, that I could beat the above average player with it. And it's like really interesting to see in the best of three practices. I've been looking at the data and I like it more than I should. So I really think I'm looking into the Sunflower. I'm looking into some other stuff. Conk, I might reach out to you about your Worlds team and see how easy it is to get one of these minimum speed Urshifu Darks, because that's been fun in testing on Showdown too. So I
Yeah.
want to test that more before I reach out. But yeah, no, I'm testing out a few different mons, but I'm sticking with. I prepped for Worlds. Like, I was like, let me take a little, like, an approach. Let me try to fix all the auto losses I see in these Limitless tours. Let me just try to grind games. So, like, I like the core of my team. Since it's the last Reg D regional, I'm not really gonna switch it up too much, you know? I feel like the secret's out of the bag. But I don't think people were keeping secrets well before Worlds either, Conk. You mentioned people were keeping their stuff in house. I don't know, man. Michael was winning Limitless tours with this stuff. You were top and ladder with your stuff. There were a lot of people showing off their sauce, like, yo, you know, like, mess with me.
It's a tough balance because you need to practice, right? Like you need to practice, and you
Yeah.
need to practice against what other people are using, and the only way to do that is to play on Showdown or on something on Limitless Tours. And I think there's a, I mean, you guys know that I was grinding Limitless Tours all season. I was showing off whatever team I was using, and I would still bring it regardless, and I would do pretty well with it. So there's, I think there's a balance to it, and I think again, people maybe try a little bit harder to keep it under wraps for worlds. Maybe it
I
doesn't
agree with
happen
that.
for certain people. Maybe it still just gets out there, but I think people are at least trying a little bit harder for that. Yeah, for regionals, it's kind of you know, it's a little bit less so of, you know, we need to keep things a secret because, like you said, I think it's just a fact that at the world stage, the people that got there are qualified for worlds. Not everyone at Pittsburgh is a world's caliber player, right, at regional levels, but that doesn't mean, you know, it's
No
still
leading
a regional,
players.
it's still
Well,
very
the thing
tough to
is, you
get to
could
stage
still go down there
two.
and play 9 straight rounds of world's
Exactly.
caliber players. Like your run
That's
at a
what I kind
regional
of
could
hope.
literally be JoYo9 into Gavin into et cetera, et cetera, et cetera,
Yeah.
right? And
You
like,
never know. You never know what your
you just
schedule's
never
gonna
know
be.
who you're gonna pull. But in terms of
Absolutely.
releasing teams and stuff early, it's, I don't think it's that big of a deal for regional stuff. Because unless you have a team that's really kind of like shaking up the meta, if you're running
Yeah.
something similar to standard or similar to whatever people consider, oh, I've seen something similar to that before, no one is going to look at that and go, I must counter this one player going into a 400 person event. It's just not going to happen. Your team
Nobody is
scares
going to
me.
look at that. They might look at it and go, do I maybe have a line? Yeah, sure. But no one's really going to go and sit there for 5 minutes, for example, and say, I'm going to hard counter Sableye VGC because I think he's going to Pittsburgh and I think he's bringing this. No one
So
has
time
time to do
out.
that. Nobody is going to do that.
So when you lose to a team on Showdown or in a tournament, you don't send it to your friends and say, "Hey, can you help me make lines? How should I beat this the next time I see it?"
Depending on the team, I will.
So Chuck,
It really
your team
depends.
building partner kicked my ass with your team, just gamed on me, and I was like, "All right, I got to figure out better lines." So like, yeah, you're now one of like the teams on my list. I hate to say is your team, but I'm like, I just got my ass kicked so bad. Like I always try to do that, I guess. I
No,
guess maybe I'm in
it's
the
definitely
minority then.
respectable, but it's one of those ones where
If I get my ass kicked, oh, should I not say ass? Is ass a curse?
we'll
I
just
get my butt kicked, I want to have lines into the team that just kicked my butt, is my point, I guess. Like, and on Limitless Tours against Worlds people or on Showdown against like a cool team, I guess I look into that more than I guess the average player does. But I'll send it to my boy and be like, yo, how do I try to make lines and game into this the next time I see it? Because I just got my butt kicked.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with making lines, right? Like, and I don't, but I'm just saying that, like, even though, like, you know, like, they know a team is out there, it's not just like, yeah, you can have your lines, but, like, keep in mind, I'm also gonna have my lines into your team, right? So
And
just
they're
because you
better
have
than
your
mine
lines, it
are
doesn't,
currently.
it's not really that, Tommy, come on, but it's not really that, it's not really that big of a deal, you know? Like, if we both, if we go into a lot a game and we both have lines into each other, that's just gonna be good Pokemon, right? It's Yeah.
not like I'm running something like completely out there and I'm trying to keep it hidden so people don't run lines. Oh,
Like,
to like
for
counter thing,
example,
you mean?
like the Cortex, he always has like the sauce. You know, Cortex always rolls up to a tournament with a sauce. If I find out that someone on ladder I played was Cortex, in the back of That's
my
an
mind, then I'm like,
right.
hey, this is a legitimate thing that I'm gonna have to see maybe at a regional. If I go into Cortex and he's got his sauce, I have no line into whatever's going on that side of the field. I am going to
Yeah.
try and figure this out the best I can, just in case I play him. But if I play somebody like, not necessarily like, somebody who plays a little bit more standard stuff, let's just say for example like a Paulchua, do I have lines into the standard stuff? Yes or no. I'm not gonna sit there for 7 years unless Paulchua is running something completely out there or different. You could use any person for an example. You know what I mean? But like, I'm
And
not gonna
like,
run it unless I know, like, unless I really see no real way to beat it, sort of thing. I don't know. I don't, maybe my wording's wrong,
exactly.
but.
Unless you feel like you have an auto loss into something that's like you're seeing multiple times, I feel like there's a certain element of one player's running this to them at Pittsburgh out of all the people that out of the 400 people that are there, and will I not be able to figure it out? Like, do I have at least the tools to deal with that matchup? As long as I have that, then it's okay. You know, like there's a certain element of, okay, I'm faced this team a couple times. I cannot, like, I just don't know how to beat this combination of mons. What can I do to figure that out? Right.
That was
story.
The Eric Rios and team for me going into Worlds.
Interesting yeah, enough, exactly. A similar experience. I had this happen at Worlds on ladder a few times. I was like, oh, I lost to this a few times. It's like, it's a really bad matchup. I'm like, no one's yeah. bringing this to Worlds. It's not happening. I played at round three of Worlds. But anyways, besides the point.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, again, like, there's a certain of, like, if you have something that's really, like, you think it's, like, I thought that my Bruxish Torkoal stuff was, like, really out of the box. I really just didn't want to kind of show that anywhere and have anyone be prepared for it. And I think that was something I really wanted to keep secret. But stuff like that I would run before, like Palma Dozo, I'm like, okay, hey, like, is anyone really prepping into my Series 1 Dozo team?
Yeah.
Probably not. Is anyone right. running into my Hard Trick Room team that I was running earlier on? Like, probably
I
not.
Love that
and
team,
even if they are, there's a certain element of, because I know that there were actually some people that did prep into my Palma Dozo stuff, and but they're not going to play the same way that I play, right? And so there's a very, you can prep into certain teams, but there's a very different, there's a big difference of prepping into it with some of your friends versus prepping into it versus a Paul Chua, you mm-hmm. know? So, like, that's, the play styles are very different. So
agreed.
I think there's some element to that. But
having friends is overpowered.
And stuff like that, I want to transition us a little bit to some of the tours that we've seen. And I think one I want to bring up immediately is one of our own Chilling Nay pod members won recently.
Not like this.
Congrats to Save Live UGC on winning the Timmy Burnt Glizzy Tour.
92 record, too.
Want to transition over to you to talk a little bit about your run, kind of your team, and how you felt the meta was when you were, you know, kind of playing in that tour. For reference for everyone, it was over 100 people, so pretty good sample size.
No, so I'm going to just kind of just be very brief with this one. I don't want to spend too much time, but I ran Shenpao, Landorus, Therian, Flutterman, King Gambit, Gastrodon, and Volcarona. Now, what I basically did was I kind of liked the whole, like, concept, and I knew this tournament was going to be best of one, and I liked the concept of what Yuri did at Worlds with his King Gambit, Gastron stuff. It was difficult to break. Yes, Yuri didn't necessarily perform as well, but one of his members of his team building group did get, I believe, 33rd. So, like, the team is out there. It was doing well. And I was like, how can I make this kind of best of one where people aren't going to have lines? And I said, you know what? Volcarona. It's a fun stream mon. No one's really going to have any lines into Volcarona right now. And that kind of stuff works better in best of one, because normally you can spend game one figuring out your line, and then game two and game three, okay, I can adapt. But I'm telling you right now, Volcarona is my MVP of this tournament. No one knew what to do versus it. Like, I would just bring it, and I could either Rage Powder, I could Tailwind, right? I just had this support Volcarona that no one knew what to do with. And it took me 5-2 in Swiss, and then what, even honestly, once I got to Top Cut, though, like, it still did good. It's an interesting mod, but like I said, I built it for the tour, I built it for the stream content, and honestly, I just feel like I played really, really well.
That's awesome. And the opponent you faced in the finals was actually running Dondozo, so I want to hear a little bit about your thoughts on the Dondozo matchup, and if you saw any of that in Swiss, and kind mm-hmm. of thoughts on that.
So the Dondozo matchup, this one was actually really, really weird. This is one of those ones where it's like, I wouldn't have had a line into it in a game one. In fact, I did drop game one when I played the finals. But it was Clear Amulet Dondozo, Tatsugiri, Protective Pads Urshifu, Focus Sash Pelipper, Chopplberry Persecutor, yes, I said Persecutor, and Goldengo Choice Specs. So it's one of those ones where you really had to sit down and figure out what was going on in front of you for a little bit. And I dropped game one.
Steely Spirit, Naked Rain?
Pardon?
Steely Spirit, Choice Steel, Naked Rains?
Yeah.
That's massive damage.
It is ridiculous damage, right? And it's one of those ones, like I said, in best of one, you don't know calcs. You know, me and my friends, when we prep, I remember versus back when Nails had his snow team, or his Obama snow team, and like mm-hmm. we were prepping versus it, and in our prep group, and we were just like, game one is a game of learn your calcs. If you've never played this team before, that game one is learn your calcs. How much does Specs Iron Bundle do to my Fluttermane? Let's find out, right? That was the game one, right? Learn your calcs. It's very similar here. It's your game one is figure out what is going on, how they want to approach this matchup. And then games two and game three, you adapt. Now, I mean, I definitely got the calls right in this game. There was some definitely a lot of calls to be made in this game, in this set I managed to win. But, like, the Don Dozo was genuinely finals, scary. Right?
Yeah.
It was it best of three for finals?
Top Cut was best of three, yes.
Yes, okay.
So the Don Dozo was genuinely scary. I will be honest on that part. And it's just one of those mons, and it reminds me of, like, a Colossal or a Xerneas from way back in the day. You need to preserve your pieces strong enough without losing your other pieces to the rest of the stuff, right? And there's always going to be calls to make when it comes to this. In this case with the Don Dozo, is the Geary switching in? Is the Dozo protecting while the Gold Dango is slaughtering you with a Make It Rain? There's a lot of calls to be made. I happen to get them right, but guys, Don Dozo's scary. I don't want to call it real still, because if you do have answers to it on your team, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
However, if you're relying on just outplaying a Dozo, it's not always possible, guys. It's not always possible. Don Dozo is a very scary mod.
Very scary, for sure. For sure. And the other tour I want to bring up is...
Before we move on, I want to shout out Himmy Turner.
Oh, yeah.
This dude is one of the smartest people in the community right now. Like, I talked to him yesterday, and just picking his brain about how he made Twitch partner and how he started his tours and streaming and everything. I was like, bro, you're a wealth of knowledge. So shout out Himmy for this and hosting these tours. He's putting all his Twitch money into the prize money for the tours too, which I didn't realize. Mm-hmm. So that's where the cash prizing comes from for the Himmy Burnt Glizzy tours. So shout out to him before we move on.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's been great. I was actually looking through the Limitless tours over the last couple of weeks just to, you know, kind of pick out some highlight tours. And there are a lot of tours, and which I think is so, so great, because I remember, you know, playing in Sword and Shield era, there was maybe, I would look forward to the Nino tour being held on a Friday. And that was maybe one of like two tours or three tours that would be held that week, every other week or something like that. So you really had to kind of wait for a tour to be held. And now you can kind of sit down on a random day. Hey, I want to pull up Limitless, see if there's a tour going on. And most of the time,
and some of them have money.
Yep. Which is really, really cool. So the next tour I want to bring up actually happened a little bit earlier, but it was soon after Worlds. I think August 20th was the date, but it's the Dog Pound Brawl. This was a $500 prize. Yep.
Yeah.
And the winner was none other than Michael Kelsch, aka Michael DeBest, who was the Worlds runner-up, using the same exact team that he used to get second at Worlds. And this was a tournament that was pretty stacked. I mean, Marco Silva got third in this tour. There was some very high quality players in this tour. So, and over 200 people. So I think a little bit what we talked about, were keeping your team a secret or kind of just using the same team. This guy has been using the same team, won a tour early on with the Nino tour before Worlds, got to Worlds, got second at Worlds, and then came back and then won another tour.
He's basically going, I dare somebody to stop me, and nobody is stopping this man. He is absolutely an insane player. Now, literally, I'm not sure if you guys saw his tweet, but he's literally top of the ladder in Ranbats as well. And, you know, it's Ranbats. You can kind of brush it off if you want to. But his GXE and his win record, his GXE was, I think it was like 93 or something like that.
92%, something like that.
Either way, guys, for anybody who doesn't know what GXE is, it is basically saying your percentage chance to win a random game against a random opponent. So that is basically saying if Michael has a 92 to 93% chance of just winning a game against, doesn't matter who he pulls, just, he can have a 93% chance of winning a game. He is an absolute legend at this game. He just plays very well, like consistently very well. It's insane how insanely well he plays all the time.
Someone quote tweeted his tweet and was like, this is a format where you could have Victory Bell versus Necrozma.
Yes, and he's winning. And he's just winning anyways. He doesn't care.
And because we're talking about him, I know, guys, that we talked about the highlight performer at the end, but I'm just going to push this up because we've kind of been talking about it so much. Yeah. But, introducing a little bit of a new segment, but we're going to start to just bring up highlight performance / highlight performer for the pod as much as we can, about just highlighting players in the community that have been doing super well. And this guy needs to be the highlight performer of the last couple of weeks. This is just maybe the best overall Pokemon player in the world right now when you consider how he plays in singles, how he's been playing in BGC, just daring people to stop him, like Ryan said, and no one can. It's just really
It's
ridiculous how
ridiculous.
good.
It's
Props
ridiculous how good he is at the game.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, guys, I'm gonna transition us to a game.
Oh, I'm excited for this
So
one.
we're gonna be playing a game where we each picked Amon, and we're gonna have the other two people guess based on the showdown usage stat. So overall usage percentage, and then if we don't get it on that, then we're gonna do it at the high ladder percentage, so 1760 ELO plus. And then if we don't get off that, we're gonna give another clue, and then we'll reveal. So who wants to go first?
I'll go
I'll
first.
let Tommy go first, but Tommy, real quick, I don't know how filtering to 1760 plus is really gonna help here, Conk. I'm like a resident like 1500 ladder.
Okay.
Yeah,
Well,
I'm a resident 15 to 1600 person. I try to get a
we'll
new
see. We'll
account
see.
to 1500 and then
I just
recount.
wanted to joke around. Go ahead, Tommy. What do you got for
Go for it.
So I got a Pokemon that at 0 plus is at 8.16% usage. And do you want to know what it goes to at 1700 plus for now or
Well, we'll
guess?
give that the
Wait,
second
give it a
clue.
sec. Give it a
First,
sec.
let's
So
see
you're
what this
saying
looks
8-ish, 8%?
8.16%, 0 plus.
8.16%. Okay.
And I won't tell you if it goes up or down at
Yeah, then let's hear
1700,
it.
but I will tell you it changes.
All
right. Ryan, you want to go
And this
first on this
change
one?
kind of surprised me. I'll give you that hint. Maybe I shouldn't have given you that hint,
I'll
but.
jump in. I don't have much of a guess on this one, but I'm actually going to go with Thunderous Incarnate.
Ooh,
That's a good
okay,
guess.
Thundi I. Let me see what that's actually at.
Well, don't
Yes,
look up yet. Don't look up yet, because like we still
we'll
got to
look
do
up
ours to
all that.
yours, right? So like,
It can be someone else's mon. It can be
yeah.
someone else's mon, so you
Yeah,
don't know.
okay.
That's
Thundi
right. So
closes
it's
out
not Thundii
8,
then.
that it's not Thundii. All right, Conk, you got anything? Because I don't.
Okay. I'll go with Dondozo. 8% usage.
Dozo. Okay, so your
Dondozo.
guess is a Thundi I and Dondozo. Both of them are wrong. And
Okay.
now, do you want to know the
Yes.
1700 plus numbers?
Yep.
3.79. It goes down by more than half.
Whoa. Okay, so that to
Wow, okay.
me means the way I'm looking at this now is this means it's probably one of those Mons that just like looks cool, but then kind of sucks when you try it, and a lot of the upper and a lot of the upper players aren't really are noticing that, right? And they aren't using it up on the top of the ladder. But some of the other players are just trying to make this. Maybe it's a cool looking Mon or something like that, and they're just trying to make it work. So
Yeah.
from that, what can I say? In fact, you know what? No, that's not gonna work.
Do you want any more hints?
Let's see if we get this here, and then I think we can conk you out
Yeah.
anything.
3% usage on
Three
high ladder.
seven nine, so almost four. Almost four,
Usage.
but it is less than half of the 8.16.
I am gonna say, oof, this is a tough
This
one.
is a
This is a
tough
tough
one. This is
one.
weird.
This is a
Right?
really interesting one. That's a pretty significant drop.
Right, exactly. So it's like I want to say one thing, but I'm like, no, that drops way too much for it to be that.
Yeah. You know what? I'll say a giraffe for a graph.
Giraffe and Sableye, who you got?
I'm gonna say Gastrodon.
Was my other guess.
So this Pokemon is also 24th most used on cart ladder. It is neither Firigraf or Gastrodon.
Give us a non-usage hint now, because
Yeah, just
if
give us
we
a
didn't get it.
different hint.
Me and
Could
you both brought it to Worlds.
what's that?
You know, that's too. It's really good. It was used at Worlds by multiple people on this podcast.
Multiple people that's on this podcast,
So it
so
has to be something you two ran.
probably, yeah, both of us ran,
Torkoal?
but did we run Torkoal?
Torkoal. I couldn't believe it.
Torkoal.
I was like,
Interesting.
oh my God.
That's
I'm
honestly never would have got that.
yeah, I'm surprised it has
This game
8%
is
usage.
hard.
This game is
I told you that's
ridiculously
the
hard.
This game's
Yeah,
hard.
this game is really hard. This game is really hard. All right.
No, but think of how good it's gonna be when someone just gets it right. It's gonna be like,
Yeah.
yo.
All right, say,
I
why
have a
don't you
backup too.
go
My
next?
backup is kind of surprising too.
All right.
But
I'll
all right.
go with so this one at 0+ usage is 3.69%.
Nice.
And as a
Okay, I'm gonna
preface,
go.
it does go up by more than double at later usage. But right now,
I'm going to go Gastrodon on this one.
3.69%. Conk, you're saying Gastro. Tommy, you got anybody?
Yes, I definitely got someone. I got to think, though. So it's a Mon that good players like. And that Gastrodon is a really good one for that one. Okay. So, and you know Ryan guessed Gastrodon last time, too. So he knows it's... Actually, I don't think it is Gastrodon.
See, Tommy's cooking now.
Yeah, because when I said it had 3.79%... Like,
you're right. He guessed it, so he probably doesn't... Yeah, he probably didn't.
Yeah. It's not going to be Gastrodon because Ryan guessed it last time, and he guessed it at 3.79% 1760 plus rating. Oh. I think this is... I'm going to go... Zapdos.
Ooh,
that's a good guess. That is a very good guess. It is not Zapdos. It is not Gastrodon. Goes from 3.69 to 8.08% in usage.
Oh, that's a huge improvement.
It is a huge improvement. And I'm actually shocked that that the difference is this much. I didn't think the difference would be this much, but the difference is this much.
I'm going to go... I have a Mon, but I feel like I don't know. I'm going to say Hisuian Arcanine.
That's a good guess. I like that guess.
I think it's used more in the lower ladder, though, Arcanine is, right? Or
is it? I don't know. I don't know about that one.
It's used a lot in Limitless Tours, I guess, too. I like that thing. It hits like a truck.
Okay. Tommy, what's your guess?
Tommy, you got a guess here?
Yeah, I got a... This is a hard one, man. So it more than doubles in usage.
They're all hard, Tommy. They're all hard. We're going to need to fine-tune this game, I think. But I think so.
For the next time, we'll definitely make it a little bit easier.
I still think it's fun, though, for right now. I still think it's good.
I think this is really... It's a nice little thought experiment to try to figure out usages.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should include what type it is next time, too.
I was going to say that would probably be the final clue, I think.
Yeah,
the type should be the final clue. I'm going to go... I think it's taken a dip in the lower ladder, and I think good players still respect it. Dragonite. Am I wrong on that? Is it still one of the higher usage Mons?
All right. It's been picking back up in usage. I have noticed that a little bit, but the answer is not Dragonite.
Okay.
The next clue is
we were talking about its partner or a partner to this Pokemon during our Pittsburgh segment.
Tatsu?
Ursaluna.
Conk got it. It is Tatsugiri. And I'm surprised the difference is this much.
That is a really big
difference. It's an incredibly different usage percentage. And that's really why I picked it. I'm like, I saw it. I'm like, maybe I'll do this. And I was like, its difference is like a whole 5%. I'm like, yeah, I'm picking this.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that's because Solo Dozo did well at Worlds? So people are trying
and
Solo Dozo.
And a lot
Dozo
of the lower ladder players. Possibly? Who knows?
Well, I mean, like, it might be Dondozo has the same.
No,
jump,
Dondozo
right?
was like 8 or 9% still at 0+.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was really surprised.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really weird.
All right, that is a very interesting one.
So that means Solo Dozos aren't translating to the 1760 plus ladder.
Right. For the most or more give or take.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Conk, what do you got?
Here. So mine at 0% or 0+ ELO is at 7.28% usage.
Okay, 7.28.
I feel like we need like some Jeopardy music here, like da na. Okay. You said 7?
7.28. So that's a decent chunk. I was looking in around that range. I don't want to pick him on the too low use.
I'm gonna say Zapdos. I'll jump on Zapdos.
Okay. Tell me.
I'm gonna go Armorage.
Okay.
Oh wait, no, I'm an idiot. I know it's not Armorage. can I get a second guess?
Sure.
Okay. I know it's not Armorage. Oh, this is tough. I'm gonna go Gastrodon.
See, it can't be Gastrodon.
I forfeit the right to pick this week.
So on highlighter, 1760 plus, it goes from 7.28% to 4.45%. It does drop.
So it wasn't. What did I guess again? Arcanine? No, I said Zapdos.
Yeah, you said Zapdos this time. I'm writing down guesses now.
So it drops.
It drops
significantly. So it's a low louder demon, noob killer.
What would be
Nihilape?
I'm gonna say Chiyu.
It is not Nihilape or Chiyu. My next clue is that it is a Paradoxmon.
Oh.
Ooh.
Huh.
I don't think it's
one that I was honestly surprised that had as high usage as it did at 0+. I was expecting lower usage.
So, I don't think it's Bundle. I don't think it's Tusk.
No, I don't think. I think it is Bundle. I'm going Iron Bundle.
You're going Iron Bundle?
I'm going Iron Bundle.
Is it Tusk? I don't think it's.
It is Iron Tusk. Bundle.
Ah, okay.
It is Iron Bundle. Wow. I feel like I haven't seen it much, and so no, I was surprised
at all. Seven. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was surprised.
I haven't seen it in one of the stores either.
Yeah, so that was a really big surprising one for me. So yeah, I was like, I gotta pick that one out. I think we're gonna have to cut the game there. I know we had prepped a second round, but
yeah, it's all good.
I think
we'll fine tune this. I like this. I think it worked.
But I like it.
Let us know what you guys think.
Yes, and let us know if you guys got the answer.
Yeah, that's the fun part. You guys can play along.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, they're definitely gonna get. Someone's gonna get an answer, and I'm gonna call beat crap.
All right, guys, well, that is it for today's episode. Had so much fun recording this one. I am super excited to see how all of us do at Pittsburgh and kind of do a recap once we come back. Mm-hmm. So we will be back post Pittsburgh,
maybe a short live episode there.
We will actually have a schedule this time, guys. We're actually going to start doing our schedule properly. Yeah. So
we will not be stuck in another country. So we will be good. We will be good. Okay. Well, that is it for us at the Chilling Nay podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Rashiel K. Conkledonk with Sable IVGC, Tommy Hayden, signing out for today.
See you, guys. Everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Love you.